Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? How are you today? Tink and Tierney, ready to go? I think we have some good content for you today on this Tuesday around the country here, CBS Sports Radio. We're coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So I think for the first time in a while, we don't lead with a quarterback story, Teak. Not that we don't like leading with quarterback stories. It's pretty hot stuff, but we have a different story that's going to bring a different energy because it's a serious one. By the way, Dan Campbell will join us later in the show, new Lions head coach. We've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling of the Packers, their wide receiver. He's been with us a couple of times here on the show. So we'll jump around a little James Harden and what he's doing for Eastern, and he's doing pretty much everything. So we are ready to get going here. T, by the way, how you doing, buddy? You okay?
Good? Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful day outside, even though it's a little chilly.
It's chilly today.
But we're heading the right way, I think. We're heading the right way.
That's true.
The snow is melting, yes. Finally. And I don't have to worry about slipping and sliding when I go out of my driveway any longer.
Yeah. But now what I have to worry about, not worry, but I have to address, is that I am I told you, I'm like a shovel maniac. But I'm also probably a bit excessive on the salt because I don't want anybody to slip.
Yes.
You know, and generally,
now you got to deal with the residue of salt.
Now I've got to deal with the salt residue. Yeah. Instead of the salt residue when I'm sweating buckets on the golf course on my hat, I've got the salt residue on the driveway, which like everybody else, we'll get rid of because it's a good problem to have. 18, 19 degrees today, 53 degrees tomorrow, and it's almost baseball season. I've been watching a little spring training. But listen, the story out of the chute here today involves undeniably one of the biggest brands in all the sport. That's the University of Texas. Now, this goes back to their song, and it's the Eyes of Texas. And this has been really, it was never in the news. Yeah, well, let me take that back. About 10 years or so ago, there was a little flare up, and maybe little is the wrong word, but there was a flare up with the men's basketball team. Some players refused to participate. For those who don't know, the Eyes of Texas has played before and after every, not just football, every sporting event. And there was resistance with the men's basketball team that kind of subsided. Obviously, 10 years later, this summer, all the conversations, all the energy, all the stories, all the focus, things have shifted. And there's been a newfound energy with this song and a lot of resistance. So that's just to kind of get everybody up to speed. Let's play a couple of things, and then we could obviously branch into a pretty important conversation. So let's first play, and we had Sark on the show. We had Coach Sarkisian on 3 days after he was hired. This is in middle January at his introductory press conference. He was asked about the Eyes of Texas, and his response, based on the resistance from his football team, was interesting. Here's Sark that day.
I know this much. The Eyes of Texas is our school song. And, you know, we support that song. We're going to sing that song. We're going to sing it proudly. I think when I come into the fold, I think any talks that need to have, whether it's about the Eyes of Texas or any other issues that come up, I think it's having the discussions. We can't put our head in the sand and act like things aren't happening. We have to really have those discussions with them and educate our players to make sure that we're all on the same page and understanding that. I think sometimes there are tough discussions that need to happen. Without speaking too candidly, we're living in a country right now where there's some turmoil going on. But as long as we can have those discussions and be on the same page, we can do that. As it pertains to the Eyes of Texas, man, that's our song, and we're fired up to sing it.
Okay. Now, that was January 12th, mm-hmm. as introductory press conference on campus. A couple of days after that, January 15th, Coach Sark, good enough to give us a call from his office. We obviously talked about a lot of stuff. Of course, we got to those comments, and here's what he said on Teke and Tierney, January 15th.
No, I think we're going to express to him why we think it is important to sing the song, and whether that's bringing in an Earl Campbell or a Vince Young or a Ricky Williams, you know, a lot of the greats who have sang that song as well, and why they support singing that song. I think there's going to be a lot of dialogue. I don't think this is a one voice conversation. I think there's going to be dialogue why it is important for us to sing that song, and we'll get to a point to where we're all on common ground and what we want to do.
All right, I want to hand it to you. I just want to set this up. I think I guarantee a lot of people, whether it's because now there's emails that have been uncovered, and that's mm-hmm. obviously part of the conversation, which we'll get to, from boosters threatening to pull money. I'm sure a lot of people, and I didn't grow up with any familiarity with this song growing up in New York City. Nope. Eyes of Texas meant literally nothing to me growing up in Brooklyn. I guarantee that there's a lot of people who, in the last couple of months, going back to last year, have Googled this, and you could probably say, you know, is the Eyes of Texas or are the lyrics racist, right? I guarantee. And people just trying to get a sense of what, to my understanding, it's not about the lyrics, Teke.
No.
It's more about the song's past, which ties into a satirical song that was performed at comedic variety shows by white performers in blackface.
Yeah, minstrel shows. Yes.
Hence the resistance. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, so look, I did the same thing, and I went back. I was like, why is this a racist song? Or why is it being viewed as a racist song? And you're exactly right, BT. It's not about the lyrics in this particular song. It's about the, for lack of a descriptive term in music, like the entomology of the music, like mm-hmm. where it came from and how it was originally performed. Now, ultimately, I don't think it's racist, and we've talked to Brian Jones, who was our colleague here at CBS, a lot of the Ricky Williams, a lot of these former black athletes at the University of Texas, even, I mean, discerning voices. I mean, BJ is still in the industry, and he talks about this, and, you know, he doesn't view it as racist, even though there is a construction in some people's minds where you could make it racist. I think where it got racist, BT, is when these letters that were written by boosters and donors to the University of Texas took it down a path that was demeaning and dismissive, not dismissive mm-hmm. of black athletes' concerns. And essentially, without, you know, reading verbatim, they were saying things like, well, only 6% of the University of Texas alumni or student body is black. Mm. Therefore, they need to get over it. Or, you know, if they have a problem with the Eyes of Texas, they should go play somewhere else and they can leave immediately. It was the opposite of what the student athletes were actually trying to do, which was create an environment of inclusion. A lot of these messages from the boosters around Texas, and not all boosters, but there was a handful of them, and these mm-hmm. weren't covered, that were basically making it a black-white thing. Like, yes. if you feel offended, then leave. Not we're going to talk about it or have a discussion about it, but leave. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Tracy about this earlier today because my wife is white, and she understands, you know, the dynamic between black issues and white issues, and we live it every day, BT. And mm-hmm. and I asked her, I was like, is this racist to you? And she said no. And I said, okay, well, let me tell you the history of it. So Robert E. Lee, who was a Southern general, obviously, and is a professor, used to say this at the end of every lecture. Don't forget, the eyes of the South are watching, are on you. The eyes of the South are on you. It was co-opted by a the University of Texas doing minstrel shows saying the eyes of Texas are on you. Mm-hmm. The reason that I think it's ultimately racist is because the lyrics are based on I've Been Working on the Railroad,
yes.
which was a Princeton song.
From Princeton, right? In the late 1800s.
Exactly. Yes. That was basically mocking black and other workers.
Although there was an association with the Irish worker as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's so
convoluted. That's where that song originated from, Princeton.
I've Been Working on the Railroad.
Yeah, correct.
That's where, and that's where the tune is from.
Yep.
But it's not, the song isn't I've Been Working on the Railroad. It's the eyes of Texas are on you. And so because they borrowed the tune from a racist song that originated in the North, by the way, mm-hmm. they are now saying that it's offensive and divisive in Texas, which is a convoluted way of saying, doesn't matter what you believe or what you think, it's all about, or what the truth is, it's all about how you feel about the truth. And that's why this is such a dicey issue down at the University of Texas.
It's a big issue. And let's face it, you know, the emails, and I believe there are about 75 or so to this extent, you know, I mean, I'm sure he got more than 75, but there were roughly a little less than 100 that were, you know, really crafted in a way that are highly disconcerting.
Yeah.
You referenced the 6%. I know it's a paraphrase, but that's it. I mean, whomever that donor was, names obviously redacted from the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, yeah, listen, we're 94, if I can paraphrase, we're 94% white on this campus. If you don't like it, leave.
That's here.
In essence exactly. What they're saying.
You're right.
So the problem now for Texas is that Coach Tom Herman, who just didn't win enough. That's mm-hmm. why he was fired. Just didn't win enough, okay?
Or maybe it was influenced by the fact that he was standing with the players.
Well, that's where I was going to go. Tom Herman encouraged his players. He said, hey, listen, it's one of the biggest brands in sport. Use it. All right, use the platform. Use
yes,
it.
That's exactly what he said.
That was a quote. And the players really took that to heart. Now, let's face it. If Tom Herman's ripping off 11-1 seasons, winning Big 12 titles, Tom Herman's not getting fired
because
he empowered his players. But when you have, you know, middling success or intermittent success, or quite frankly, you fail to achieve what they thought you were going to achieve when they slapped $25 million next to your name when they hired you 5 years ago, whatever it was, you got to get fired. So Sarkisian now enters the equation, got a great quarterback, 5-star recruit, got to start winning, got money, only top 15, not top 5, not top 7, not top 10, not top 10, but he's at the school that we're at a school that has failed to reach the pinnacle of what they once were, which is one thing, but now there's this internal strife, which is something else. And let's face it, let's just call it for what it is. If the University of Texas ever trotted out, how many kids dress up on Saturday? Just give me a number. I know the NFL's 50.
It's like 90 okay. kids at home games. So the way it's, I think it's 70-something.
Okay, so if they ever dress 90 white kids, they will never win anything. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That might be uncomfortable for some to hear, but if the Longhorns ever come out of a tunnel with 90 white kids, they will never win anything. And I say that because while you can kind of put this in the corner a little bit if you want, that's only a few emails, it's only a few boosters. You can disassociate yourself from those boosters, which is what you have to do.
Yeah.
If too many young black players say, you know, I'm not going to the school because of what's going on.
Yeah.
That is going to adversely affect them. But I also understand that the song itself, the lyrics, are not racist.
That's right.
This is a tough one.
It is. It's a tough one because Texas has to worry that this is what they become known for. And again, you made a very important point when we first started talking about this, BT. I didn't know, and you didn't know, and unless you were at the University of Texas or one of their rivals, you weren't aware. So this kid from this top recruit, he's from California.
Yes.
He's not aware of the eyes of Texas, you know, that song. It's not what he's thinking about when he's thinking about coming to coming to University of Texas. Just like if you're from, I don't say you're from Florida, you're not aware of the good old song when you go to the University of Virginia, my alma mater, what mm-hmm. we sing after every game or after every touchdown. Like, you're just not aware of those things. But because this is being so this has become so prominent and become a talking point that almost leads discussions.
Yeah.
Right? It now becomes a deterrent. Or
it could, least, for
it,
sure.
It's a check in the negative column, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you make a column, all the positives. I'm going to go here because of X, Y, Z, alumni base, yada, yada, yada. But wait a second. That alumni base doesn't care about me because I'm black and they're threatening me if I don't sing the song at the end of games and stuff.
And before games.
Right? It becomes a narrative that is not easy to overcome because it's so nebulous and confusing and ambiguous about what this actually means for a student athlete there.
This is, Teague, I thought about this all morning. Honestly, once I knew this was our lead and we discussed it on Slack, obviously setting up the show this morning. And again, we've spoken about this before. We had Sark on. We just played something from his press from when he was with us. January 15th, we played something a few days before that from his introductory press conference. Like, this is not a new topic, story here on Tiki and Tierney. But, you know, as I dug deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the origin of the song and the symbolism behind it. I mean, let's go back to 1960, all right? It's a politically charged universe, right? Now it is. 1960, Lyndon B. Johnson at the Democratic National Convention, they had a 20-piece orchestra play this song for Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah.
So it depends where you're from, how old you are, but it can't, I wish I had, I hate not having a definitive answer.
Yeah.
What I won't do is marginalize anybody who feels that it's not the right song. But what I also will not do for sure is paint the 540,000 great alumni of the University of Texas as racist because 75 clowns, you know, flooded somebody's email. You're talking about 60% of a million people, 600,000 people basically walking this planet with UT roots. And I believe, and you want to call me naive, that's fine. I believe that the overwhelming majority, 95%+, have good intentions and believe in equality and want the right thing. It's the 5% that could ruin this for Texas.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what's tricky.
It's become a PR puzzle that they have to, I think, navigate right now. Not survive, because they're going to be fine. But they have to navigate this from a PR standpoint because, again, Tom Herman, new head coach at the University of Texas, didn't have to answer this question. 4 years later, or four seasons later, Steve Sarkisian, new head coach at the University of Texas, it's one of the first questions he's asked.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that shouldn't be the talking point at a press conference for a new head coach. And I fear that's what University of Texas, with all of this new information coming out and all everybody now getting curious about it and talking about it and a little bit of a dead period for college sports, they got to manage this from a PR standpoint. Otherwise, they are going to lose a lot of those African-American recruits who will look at this and say, yeah, I'm not going to that place. They don't even care about me.
There's a lot of other options. And let's face it, other options that have won a whole lot more in Texas.
That's right.
They might not all have the facilities and the stadium and 110,000 people in Austin, Texas. They might not have all that. But there's a lot of schools that have some of that and none of this other stuff that is engulfing the program negatively. So let's get to this coming up next here. Obviously, there's got to be some delineation as to what's right and what's wrong. I mean, you can't just, again, sweep it to the corner of the room and plow forward with your eyes shut. So the school and other schools in general, they've got a decision moving forward. Greater responsibility, does it lie with the student athletes and the students, or does it lie with the alums and the boosters? Can you actually work both sides equitably? Let's get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on this Tuesday. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Talking Texas out of the chute. Inarguably, the most divisive topic collegiately right now. I can't think of anything that's even really a close second when you look at stories connected to specific schools or were conferences. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about, you know, should there be how many fans should be there for the NCAA tournament? But I mean, things of real significance that aren't pandemic related. To me, you know, and again, this is from the story, CBSSports.com had it, a lot of other outlets had it as well, where some emails to the school Excerpts of those emails were made public, names redacted, obviously, but you can get a sense of the ugliness of some of them. Again, Texas has 550,000 alums. These emails represent, you know, probably less than 30% of 1% of all the alums on this great planet. But what Texas does, because this invariably opens up the next question: the greater responsibility, does it lie with the fans or the players, fans boosters or the players? Now, the answer is probably somewhere in between. What they need to do immediately, and I believe they did this partially, maybe a little stronger, they need to completely disassociate and disavow everything that was written from those boosters, to the point where, I mean, it's one thing, and by the way, not just hollow, empty rhetoric to placate people. What they need to do for those boosters, and they've got the names. We don't have the names. They've got the names. So what if I'm running University of Texas, what I'm doing is, all right, let's say there's 13 highly inflammatory emails. Okay, you know what? Call up Joe Smith. Joe, you're no longer allowed on campus. We don't need your money. Mm-hmm. And hang up. Right. Yep. So you immediately address that, and you defend the student athletes, the minority ones, but you also keep the song and continue the conversation.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think the song itself is racist, and I don't think it's hard to argue that it is. The history of the song it is, but I feel like if we did a deep dive in almost any university's history, you're going to find something like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to keep it personal to my university, mm-hmm. at the University of Virginia, we revere Thomas Jefferson, but we also know that he was a slave owner. Mm-hmm. And the Serpentine Walls, you remember this maybe it was 4 or 5 months ago.
I remember this.
These Serpentine Walls that are, you know, basically one brick thick, but the reason that they're able to stay, it's an architectural marvel that originated in France. Obviously, Thomas Jefferson was the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to France. And so he learned this technique from being international for the majority of his young life before he became involved heavily in politics. But he built these serpentine walls. And when I was there, they were, you know, 8 feet, maybe, you know, 7 feet high. Mm-hmm. But they used to be like 15 feet high. And the reason historically, and this was documented in like a little known biography about the university. It probably didn't even sell, you know, 20,000 copies, but there was it detailed why those walls were that high. Mm-hmm. And it was so that the slaves who were working in the gardens wouldn't be seen as people walked into the lawn, which is obviously one of the most revered places at the University of Virginia. And so there was backlash about the Serpentine Walls, which for as long as I can remember, were celebrated mm-hmm. at the University of Virginia. And so this type of history will exist everywhere in this country because slavery existed everywhere in this country, and bigoted attitudes towards people of color who were brought here and looked at as less than human. Mm-hmm. And so it's everywhere, and you're going to find it everywhere if you dig deep enough. The question is it still offensive in the 21st century, I should say, as it was, you know, back in the late 50s and 60s, when it was really divisive in the United States.
Listen, your point is not lost on me. If you do enough digging, you're going to find stuff that is not pretty. You know?
Yeah.
Let's get our heads out of the sand here. You know, I've seen a lot of documentaries on just how New York City was built. Robert Moses, basically mm-hmm. the architect of the infrastructure of the city. And the thought was, when you go out, you know, Long Island, you go out yep. to the Hamptons, or at least you do pre-pandemic. And, you know, I spent a lot of time out there during summers playing ball, whatever. You drive out on the southern state, and more so than the LA, but certainly the southern state.
Yeah, these are parkways east, by the way.
These are parkways going that connect New York to Long Island, right, for going east, for those who, I should have probably said that, you're right, not assuming people know. And when you go out there, when they started to build these parkways, the thought was that Robert Moses made these brick bridges that people could obviously walk over a certain height so that the buses with minorities could not go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's in documentaries.
Yep.
I remember And it's, you know, it's just, it's what you're aware of, man, quite frankly. I remember, I'll never forget this, because Tom and Jerry movie is out now. I remember one of my first shows in San Francisco. You know ED, we've had him on the show a million times, Eric Davis, right?
By the way, Tracy is taking the kids to Tom and Jerry right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I loved it. I
haven't seen it yet, but
I loved the cartoon. It was one of my favorites, but
it was still my favorite cartoon.
But
we're
doing
Tom
a show. No, but listen, I never thought of it this way. ED and I are doing the show, and I'm there 1 week in San Francisco. I barely know the guy, you know. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get to know him a little bit, doing our show, trying to do afternoon drive in San Francisco. Go to startup station. The guy drops. He's like, and somehow Tom and Jerry was referenced, right?
Yeah.
And you know, ED, like, he's got that wry smile, so you don't always know when he's serious.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
So he goes, man, he says, Tom and Jerry's racist. I go, what? Tom and Jerry, the cartoon? And he goes, yeah. And then we wound up talking about it a little bit on air, and more so during a break. And he goes, dude, go back and watch. Look at the way, like, the maids or the older African-American women are depicted versus the Caucasian people. I'm
That's
like,
right.
Jesus, I never would have even remotely thought about that.
It's true.
I would have never thought about that.
Yeah, the black maid who has, like, the apron on.
Yes.
And who's always, like, chasing Tom or chasing the Jerry away. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I would have never thought of that.
The imagery is. I wouldn't have either.
Who would have?
You just don't.
No, you don't. Certainly as a kid when you're watching it.
No, and as you become more discerning and you start to tie back into your history, you recognize these things. I've told you this story, BT. I remember being, and I still remember this, sitting in, like, assemblies when I was in elementary school singing Dixie.
I remember you
remember? So, I mean, I didn't realize it. I just wasn't aware of these things. I didn't go home and tell my mom. I didn't think.
It was just woven into the culture.
That's exactly right.
Like Eyes of Texas was.
That's exactly right.
Before people started to challenge it. So, to answer the point that we broached this segment, as we wrap it up here, Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next after Rags Update. We've got some NBA stuff. Good menu. I think you guys will enjoy it. Stick around for that. But where do we stand on the responsibility, like the university beholden to whom? The more so, I mean, obviously both, but if you had to tie a little, like if you had to differentiate between the two, if it's not 50-50, which nothing's really 50-50 in life if you think about it, are you going more booster alums who fuel the economic engine of the school, but also the student athletes fuel the economic? So who deserves more? I don't want to say representation, because everybody should be represented.
Yeah.
But that is a tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's an answerable question. I think every school might be different. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it is either, BT. But my inclination is that the alumni are the ones who are most responsible for looking at how their group is ultimately going to be viewed, not just in the present, but how they're going to be viewed 50 years from now, or 100 years, or 200 years from now. And if there is something that needs to be changed, and you were given the opportunity to change it, did you? I would tend to push towards the alumni. Obviously, the catalyst of that change being these student athletes who have brought this to the forefront for the last couple of years down in Texas.
We'll be watching, that's for sure. But that was interesting. If you wanted to catch our entire, remember, we had Sark on a couple days after he was introduced. I know I've said that a few times, but go back, find it, youtube.com/Tekin Tierney. We asked him about this. He was asked about the song at his press conference. We asked him about it. He gave a pretty interesting answer, didn't shy, tackled it head on, a good, thoughtful 40-45 second answer. So that entire interview is on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Tekin Tierney. All right, coming up, Axe Update, Inbounds, Out of Bounds after that. On the menu, all right, Alex Smith, done with Washington, but may he resurface with a contender, with a contender as the guy? Does that work anymore? Is Alex Smith still that guy? I don't know, but probably from the tone of my voice, you can probably tell I'm going to answer the question. Inbounds, Out of Bounds after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tekin and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next. First, though, time for the Granger Player of the Week, brought to you by, obviously, Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Nikola Jokic. The big man is just a beast. The joke of power in Denver, 118-112 win over the Bulls. That was a good game last night. Dropped in 39 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. The Denver big man is averaging 31 points, 10 rebounds over his last four games while shooting a robust 58%. It's not just hollow stats. It never is with Jokic, but just to back it up, nearly 60% efficiency. So he's obviously on the MVP list behind Embiid for me and maybe one or two others, but he's there. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry backed by 24/7 support and free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop on by. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. We've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, coming up next hour. Third hour, Dan Campbell, who is a throwback. He's biting kneecaps and taking names. The new head coach of the Lions. They've got a new identity, and let's face it, they needed it. Let's see if it works. We're rooting for Detroit. They can use a good football team. They deserve it. And hopefully Campbell, a guy that Tiki's pretty tight with, obviously former teammates. I know you were texting him. We're rooting for your former buddy to get it done, but we'll have him on the show today. It's going to be pretty good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, he's an awesome dude, and he's so old school. Some of the stories he used to tell back in his college days are classic.
Oh, boy.
Probably not good for air. But
good for beers, though.
Exactly
good
right.
Good for beers and darts.
Exactly right.
I got you. Little inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to go?
Yep, let's go.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so the first time all week, we really first time in about 2 weeks, we haven't led with quarterback stuff. We hit the Texas stuff out of the chute, but you can't do an entire first hour without talking quarterbacks, so here we go. Last week, Alex Smith opened up about his time in Washington. We hit the story, obviously. And he was very blunt in what went down, claiming his return, quote, threw a wrench into the team's players and their plan, saying, heck no, they didn't want me here. They didn't want to give me a chance, end quote. Now, Washington's officially released the former first overall pick out of Utah, and some have tied him to, you ready? Matt Nagy in Chicago. So, if you remember, and I know you do, Nagy was Smith's quarterback coach with Kansas City back in the day when he was the OC. It was actually both QB and OC in Kansas City. So here's the question. While Smith was a great story, undeniable, we do not believe that he can be a viable NFL starter anymore, in or out.
I'm going to say out of bounds to that. I think he can be a viable starter. One of the reasons that he was limited last year, even though he did win a lot of games.
You just said that like Russell Wilson. You said limited. You did.
Mr. Unlimited.
No, I don't like the way that you said it, and I'm like, ugh, I don't like that.
All right, even though he was hampered last year with that calf injury at the end, and he was not very mobile, they did win a lot of games with him under center. And look, he's going to start, I think, if he ends up going to a place like Chicago.
Yep.
He's not their future, but he can be a perfect bridge to whoever they're looking to bring in to be that future quarterback. And if they don't have the resources or the draft position right now to get that person, I think Alex Smith is a good alternative, a very good alternative, especially because of the familiarity with Matt Nagy, as you just mentioned.
Well, now, that part is fairly interesting. The first part is not interesting to me at all. I got to go the other way, man. I'm certainly agreeing he's a great story. But I'm framing this directly to the Bears, all right? And I know it says a viable NFL starter, so that encompasses the entire NFL, but this is specific to Nagy. So I incorporate, you know, where the Bears have been, what they're trying to do, how many issues they've had at quarterback, and the pressure on their GM, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy. You're not going to win with Alex Smith. You're just not. I mean, he can't move the way he used to. I know he won some games for Washington, but look at the numbers. He was throwing for $140.
Yeah.
But it didn't do anything.
But isn't that all you need?
No, it's not. Not in the modern NFL. To me, that's an anomaly. That's a byproduct of playing in a bad division. The Giants' defense was actually pretty good. But most of the teams in the division were a sieve. Dallas' defense stunk. The Eagles were a disaster. I mean, that's the only reason they made the playoffs there. Washington, that is. Alex Smith is forever a great story. Alex Smith, at this point, in my opinion, respectfully, is forever a backup.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, as we mentioned yesterday as well, the Atlanta Hawks have fired head coach Lloyd Pierce after a little over two seasons with the team. They underperformed this year, specifically in the fourth quarter. Look at some of the advanced metrics. Like, they played a lot of competitive three-quarter games, and then just fundamental implosion and erosion, if I could sound like Clyde Frazier for a minute. Fourth quarter stats, not very pretty, not very kind to them in the fourth quarter. So the team had high hopes, as we know. They signed Rajon Rondo, Bogdanovich. Obviously, Cam Reddish is there. DeAndre Hunter, your guy from Virginia. Trae Young, one of the young stars of the league. And Trae Young putting up 26 a game with a PER over 23. So he takes some wild shots, but if your PER is 23, you're not wildly inefficient, that's for sure. So here's the question. Trae Young, all right, this is a good question. Trae Young can be a legit number one on a contending team.
I'm going to say I'm going to say out of bounds of that right now. And you know, maybe he can grow into what I'm going to get into, but I doubt it. So he is unbelievable. He's got a high PER, as you mentioned, for a 22-year-old kid. He's got a dominant usage percentage and is a ball-dominant guard who can score at will.
Yep.
However, BT, his defensive plus-minus is atrocious. Jeez. Atrocious. 168 out of 186.
Yikes.
So there's like 15 players worse than him. In the entire NBA, BT.
That is rough.
You cannot be the guy on a contending team if you are that big of a liability in one half of your game. And there is some... there's some examples of him just not even trying, man.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say out of bounds. He's not the reason that Lloyd Pierce got hurt. Really, it was injuries. But when you bring in Rajon Rondo and Bogdan Bogdanovich and Danilo Gallinari, and you still only win 14 games.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be the scapegoat.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it was Lloyd Pierce.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I said last week that I thought Lloyd Pierce was trending toward being fired. I know Lloyd Pierce did a lot of great things in the community, but Lloyd Pierce was hired to win basketball games.
Yep.
And didn't win enough. So I have no issue with the Atlanta Hawks firing Lloyd Pierce. The question about Trae Young being a legit number one, no. I agree with you. And it's the defense is a big part of it. But, you know, you look at all the contending teams. And we'll take the best iteration of the Warriors, even before KD.
Yeah.
Put them aside. They appear to be a bit of an anomaly. But look at the Lakers, LeBron and AD. Look at the Raptors, Kawhi. Look at the Clippers. If you still believe the Clippers can win the championship, Kawhi, and to a lesser extent, Paul George. If you like Denver, you got Jokic and obviously Murray. Mm-hmm. If you like the Celtics, I know they're underachieving this year, but you got Tatum. He's not a 6'1", 172-pound lead guard like Trae Young. He's just too small, man.
Yeah, and that's why he can't play defense.
I know it's a guard. Like, it's gone away for the conventional post, you know, pivot man.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I understand that. Although Embiid probably going to win the MVP, but he could step out and do his thing.
I don't know, man. Rim. You mentioned him earlier, Jokic.
Joker's 7 feet too. So
true.
A big's going to probably win it this year. Is the point?
Yes, you're right.
I really like Trae Young. If he's a number one, you'll be exciting. You're not going to win a championship. To me, that's easy. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so there's obviously travel restrictions from Canada. That's why the Raptors going down to Florida. The Toronto Blue Jays announced on Friday they'll do away with their radio broadcast team, which stinks because the Blue Jays could be pretty good. Well, no, they're still going to have something on the radio, but it won't be. I know. It's going to be the TV simulcast played on the radio, which I'm not a big fan of, obviously.
That sucks, man.
I hate it. Becoming the first MLB team ever without a dedicated radio feed. That's not good.
That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. I'll take that word. That sucks. Now, we all remember the Dodgers simulcast the first three frames of each game during Vin Scully's final season. But that was as a tribute, so the radio audience could hear Vin Scully. Baseball's the easiest sport to simulcast a TV broadcast on the radio side, in or out?
I'm probably going to say inbounds of this because there's so much talking on both radio and television.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in football, I mean, the TV broadcasters can lay out just let the visual speak for itself at times. Mm-hmm. Baseball, it's kind of always talking. So I'm gonna say inbounds, but you know this is terrible for the industry. I hate to see this and hear this. Hopefully this is a short term solution for the Blue Jays and they bring their radio crew back because I hate to see that happen to this.
Can't
industry.
Stand it. I'm totally with you. Share the sentiments. My answer is different. My sentiments are the same. Out of bounds. I don't think baseball is the easiest sport to simulcast at all. Matter of fact, maybe I'm cheating here because I'm going with golf. I've listened, and I remember it was out of necessity when Mickelson won the Open Championship Years ago. I remember Colton was just born. I was out east at my sister's place, and I had to listen. And I'm like, golf on the radio, that's miserable. It was actually really good. Here's the problem with baseball. All right, here's the pitch, right? All right, if you're watching, you and I locally, we'll watch the Yanks and the Mets, you know, obviously Kay and Gary Cohn and the crew. So let's say it's Kay, right? And the pitch popped up, too, and there's a pop-up. Like, if he's doing, even though he might be a little bit more detail-oriented, he doesn't have to be. He can just say, popped up to the outfield, and as a viewer, from the TV point of view, you can see whether it's left, center, or right, or one of the gaps, right? If you're on the radio and you say pop-up, you have no idea where the hell the baseball is. So I would hope that, what part of the diamond, or the outfield, I would hope that they have been given specific instructions to be a little more detail-oriented for the radio audience, but that could kill the TV audience.
That's
so
a good point.
I don't like it, but I do not think baseball is that easy to simulcast. I disagree.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Sunday, number 5, the Hawkeyes. Number 5 took out the Buckeyes, who are number 7. Big Ten is stacked, as we know. 73-57 as a player of the year favorite. Luka Garza is obviously going to win this thing going away. Dropped in 24 points. Now, it was the Buckeyes' third straight loss after failing to Michigan State and Michigan last week. There are currently 4 Big Ten teams at the top 7, with Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois, and Iowa. And CBS bracketologist expert Jerry Palm has the conference sending 9 teams to Indy, including 2-1 seeds and 2-2 seeds. That, by the way, if it's 2-1s and 2-2 seeds, that's never happened before. That would be a historical footnote. That's never happened before. In or out, it is more harmful than good for the Big Ten and its teams to play in a conference that's this loaded from top to bottom, easily, in or out?
Easily out of bounds from EBT. Okay. Now, it's gonna limit the number of conference championships, regular season and tournament, that their respective coaches are going to be able to attain over their careers if they're there long enough, because it's just almost going to be impossible to win all the time, like Bill Self in Kansas, right? But at the end of the day, it gets you into the tournament when your conference is this strong. And as we all know, very rarely are they going to intentionally put rematches from conferences in the same brackets. And so it all becomes a matchup game. And be honest, the more of your conference colleagues that get deep into the tournament, the more money the conference makes. So I'm going to say out of bounds of this. This is easy.
I totally agree. Although with the 9 teams projected, you won't be able to avoid Big Ten.
True.
Year. That's
but generally
different.
Speaking.
Generally speaking, you're absolutely right. If you know, I've seen years where it's like the ACC or the Big East have had like 6 or 7 teams, 5 or certainly 5. You can disperse them enough and get enough separation where you might meet in the Sweet 16. You're certainly not meeting in the round of 65, nor are you meeting, generally speaking, in the field of 32, round of 32. The answer is this is out of bounds. It is so advantageous. You talk about strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. You talk about net ranking, which is really that's the most important metric the last couple of years. Net ranking has trumped everything else here. Really, you in a non-pandemic year, right, where you can have all these great non-conference tournaments and you can play 12, 13 non-conference games, you play one or two powers like Michigan State can play Gonzaga, Michigan can play maybe a vintage Arizona. See, I'm just throwing stuff out.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ohio State can play Villanova, right? Even if you lose, your net is so favorable. And even if you have a sub-500 record in the conference, you're going dancing. And you're probably getting a decent seed. Totally agree. That's the right answer. Out of bounds. It's much more helpful than harmful.
Agreed.
This is a good hour, Teak.
Yeah, man. Quick hour, too.
Fast hour. Well, that's what makes it good. Quick. Just kidding. All right. James Harden going bonk. It was a good game with the Spurs last night. So, as great as Harden's been, and he has been last night literally flawless, what happens when KD comes back? Is there a feel-out period? We'll hit that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.